Welcome to the session, Microsoft Graph Live. My name is Daryl Miller, coming to you from Montreal, Canada. I'm a program manager on the Microsoft Graph Developer Experience team. And today, you're going to learn about what is the Microsoft Graph and how to use it to power your applications. And if there's one thing that you come away with from the end of this session, it's remembering this URL, graph.microsoft.com. It's where you'll find all the information you need to know about the Microsoft Graph. Across Office 365, Windows 10, and the enterprise mobility and stuff is the fabric of data that describes the patterns of productivity, identity, and security in an organization. A set of tools that enable you to build apps that integrate with Microsoft 365. But in order to make that description real, let's start by watching a video about a product built on Microsoft Graph by a Microsoft partner.
Duga is a solution for all types of exams and levels of education. And our mission is to help schools to increase quality in knowledge assessment and also provide equal opportunities for all students in showing their knowledge. Microsoft's mission is very much in line with what we are trying to accomplish. Duga launched on the Swedish market, and we were soon facing a situation where we were entering new markets. And the challenge was to scale up. We needed a reliable infrastructure to deliver our product worldwide. So we transferred our solution to Microsoft Azure to provide the best solution. And with Microsoft tools and technology, our developers have been able to develop features that really meet the needs of today's classroom. The Microsoft Graph Toolkit and APIs have really made product development much easier and more accessible and helped us deploy graph-powered experiences within the Teams app. And with Microsoft Immersive Reader, we are able to help a lot of students out there with special needs. During the current circumstances affecting more than 1.5 billion students, our Duga app in Teams have become really popular among teachers adjusting to remote learning and assessment. And with Duga, teachers can create, schedule, and conduct exams remotely in Teams. We really wanted to be part of the school's digital ecosystem. With Duga integrated with Microsoft 365 and with Teams, we could really offer a friction-free experience to our teachers and students.
It's always inspiring for us to see customers being able to take advantage of the products that we build. But seeing firsthand how Duga are using the Microsoft Graph, the Microsoft Graph Toolkit, and Teams to make it easier to build solutions to today's challenges is so rewarding. So let's talk more about the experiences we want to help you build. The Microsoft 365 platform offers developers the capability to create people-centric productivity experiences that increase the effectiveness and engagement of their apps. The foundation of this platform is the Microsoft identity. This is where we have the identity across work and life of each user and organization. And for developers, it offers standards-based auth libraries, seamless sign-in, single sign-in, and a secure app model that enables access to the data in Microsoft 365. Then we have the Microsoft Graph, the gateway to your customers' data in the Microsoft Cloud, primarily in Microsoft 365. The Microsoft Graph provides the core schemas for many of the most important productivity data types. The Microsoft Graph offers a REST API for being able to update and create and read data in the Microsoft webhooks in order to detect changes that occur in that data. With these tools, you can build a wide range of experiences. You can build web apps and bots, agents. You can build applications that run on devices, native applications on your desktop, daemon apps, workflow apps. You can also build applications that extend the Microsoft 365 experiences like Teams, SharePoint, and Outlook. You can also take the data that is in Microsoft Graph and using Microsoft Graph Data Connect, pull out that data and feed into the Azure AI platform and develop analytics apps. You can also bring your own data using Microsoft Graph data connectors. You can bring that data into Microsoft Graph and allow that data to participate in the search experiences that exist across all of the M365 set of experiences. For this app ecosystem to succeed, it needs to provide access to information about people and organizations in a way that people can trust that they know which applications are accessing what data. And this is why the consent experience is so important. If an app wants to access calendar information, it will need to specifically request that permission. And the owner of the calendar data, the user, can consent to grant the application access to it. In terms of the data available in Microsoft Graph, there are several popular data sets that we see a large number of applications integrate with: mail, conversations, users, groups, tasks, files. But there's so much more. There's over 5,000 APIs in the Microsoft Graph, and here are many of the more data sets that are available, each of them with data coming from a particular product or service in Microsoft 365. At Microsoft, we build products and services that cater for a wide range of customers in different industry verticals and different walks of life. The same Outlook that my kid uses at school is used by paralegals in the legal industry, medical professionals in the healthcare industry, yet their needs for productivity are different. And so we at Microsoft rely on our partner ecosystem to help us customize and tailor experiences that meet the specific needs of our customers. There's really just a few simple steps to get your first Graph application up and running. You try the Graph Explorer, you browse the API reference in the docs, we've got quick starts and training, and you can learn about the SDKs and toolkits. Register your app in the identity platform, and away you go. But instead of just talking about it, let's go to the browser and actually show you around these experiences. So I mentioned before the place to start, graph.microsoft.com. It's where you'll find everything that you need to know. You can see our new Graph Explorer is now GA, and this is what I recommend people starting with because it's a great way to learn about what you can do with the graph. So I'm going to head over to Graph Explorer here, and you can see it's kind of a place where you can make these HTTP requests. You can make any kind of request you want, run the query, you'll see the data. We also have a whole set of samples so you can try it out. I'm going to click right here on my profile, and you can start to see the richness of the information that's available about our particular user. Now, I didn't actually have to sign in here, because we've done a little special magic in Graph Explorer to provide you with a bunch of sample data, so you don't even need an account to get started. I can get access to Megan's photo. I can access her email. Now, this sample data is actually no good for you if you actually want to go and build your own application, because as I say, it's special for the Graph Explorer tools. And we can sign in here, and we can actually go and access your production data, but we don't recommend that you build apps against your production data. And because then, of course, well, you might have to go and talk to an admin to be able to get consent, to be able to do things. The much better way is you go and get your own sandbox, your own developer program. So if we click on this Get Sandbox here, it'll take us to the Microsoft 365 developer program where you can sign up for a tenant that will give you a set of sample data. You can be the admin of this, so you can try it all out and build your application safely, knowing that you aren't actually changing any underlying production data under the covers. So let's go do that. Let's sign in. I've created a demo tenant, and I have an admin account here. I'm going to click on that, and I'm going to sign in. Now, this is the first time that Graph Explorer has tried to access this tenant, and our applications, just like yours, go through this process of requesting permissions to be able to access this data. And it's saying it would like to sign in and read your profile information. So we're going to click accept. And now when I go and click on the My Profile, I can see that now we have the profile information of the administrator account who signed up who is a member of this demo tenant. I can also go and click on my photo. Ah, but it failed with a 404. It says the photo wasn't found. It hasn't been set up. Microsoft Graph is just a basic HTTP API, so all the standard behavior that you're used to when working with an HTTP API applies here. Let's go click on my mail. This time we get a 403 forbidden. It's saying that you don't have permission, or more specifically, Graph Explorer doesn't have permission to get at that information, and you need to consent to the permissions in the Modify Permissions tab. We make it really easy right here in Graph Explorer to go do that. If I click on Modify Permissions, you can see there's a set of different permissions that would allow me to access mail. And these permissions are listed from least privilege to highest privilege. In the case of mail.readbasic, that would only give the application access to just the headers of the mail, just the subject and the to and from and the date and time. To actually access the body, I need to use mail.read. And with this mail.read, I can just click over here on the consent, and it will pop up the consent dialog. And now it's asking, can this application read your mail? Now, this consent dialog is provided by the identity platform. You don't have to build that yourself. You, using the identity libraries, you can get that to trigger from your own application. And now, when I go and run the query, I now see the mail that belongs to that administrator, hence why it's important that we consent to it. Obviously, there could be sensitive information in there. I mentioned this is just an HTTP API, so as well as seeing the response information, you can also see the response headers, the HTTP headers that come back. Now, once we get this data, we're actually going to want to have to render it in some kind of UI, and we have a variety of options to help you learn how to do that. One of the ways that you can do it is with adaptive cards. And you can see now this list of email messages, not very exciting email messages, but they are rendered out in a list view using adaptive cards. You can find more about adaptive cards by going to adaptivecards.io. This is a platform agnostic way of easily and quickly creating UI elements that can work in many different places already, in the bot framework, in Microsoft Teams, Outlook actionable messages, and Windows Timeline. You don't need to reinvent the wheel across these platforms. Using adaptive cards will work right out of the box. If you're building a web-based application, there's another tool, set of tools that we've built, which is the Microsoft Graph Toolkit that you heard Duga mention. And if you go to mgt.dev, you can see the Microsoft Graph Toolkit Playground. And here, you can see the types of agendas that we saw being used in the Duga video. If you click on Get Events for Next Week, you can see that we've grouped this by days, and we have this agenda element that you would put in your HTML to render this really rich experience. And over on the tabs on the right, it shows you what JavaScript and CSS you need to be able to enable that. And if I click here, you'll see, I don't actually need anything. All you need is that HTML tag, that web component, in order to be able to light up this functionality, pulling data from Graph. Another great example, which is a piece of functionality that is used in many, many applications, is just being able to show the user's information, their picture, and this has the added ability of having this hover card that allows you to see their contact information, or email, and their phone number. And this is really all that was needed, a token, a HTML tag, in order to enable that experience. If we go back to Graph Explorer, we can see one of the other great new features in Graph Explorer is this notion of code snippets. It's one thing to be able to make a call within this experience, but how do I make that same call from within the programming environment that I want to work with? And if you're a C# developer, we have the C# code available to you. If you're a JavaScript developer, we have the same thing here, Java, Objective-C, and we'll be adding more languages as we add support here. Now, this is a really simple example. It's just going in doing get. Chances are you can probably figure this out really simply. But if I was to search for a more sophisticated sample, like creating a threat indicator, we have a sample here. I just search for it. I click on here. And in this case, there's a request body where I need to pass a set of data in a specially formatted JSON payload. Below, in the code snippets, we can actually see what those objects are needed to be created and how they need to be set up, making it super easy to just copy and paste that code over into your application and get started and call the graph. Now, the samples provide you with a subset of capabilities of how to do things in the graph. If you hop over to our Graph API reference documentation over here, you can see so much more about how to work with the graph. We have all kinds of docs about doing standard operations through the API, how to use the SDK, and we now have documentation of how to page through page collections and how to create batch requests and do resumable large file uploads with code examples for how to do all of these. If we are, let's say we're trying to build something that allows us to find out availability of people, it's a free busy schedule. Well, I can just type free here and go over to that page, and it will tell us the permissions that are needed in order to be able to make this call with examples, the headers that can be used. And this is human written documentation that goes through very specific examples that talks about the common use cases of how to use this. And again, we have C#, JavaScript, Objective-C, and Java examples of how to make these calls to the API. One more example would be, for example, Drive, going over to list the Drive items that are available. Now, when I say Drive, I mean both OneDrive files and SharePoint files. They are presented in a consistent way across Microsoft Graph. And this is one of the benefits, is we have created a single API that shows concepts that exist in different places across the M365 ecosystem in a common pattern. So you only have to learn how to do it once. Now, once you've got familiar with the types of things you want to do and you want to have an idea and you want to get started, right up in the top right-hand corner, we have a Getting Started button. And you can see we support a wide range of platforms and languages, and we provide a kind of choose your own adventure experience. You can go the quick start, depending on the type of developer you are. If you just want, I want to get an app that's fully running, I want to download it, just get myself an app ID so that it can actually consent and try it out, you can do that. You can be up and running in 3 minutes. If you'd like a more step-by-step experience, we have this notion of training, where we take that same app that you can download in the quick start, but we break it down into steps. So we guide you through the process of this is how you create that application. Or if you just, you know what you want to go and build and you just want to get started, download the SDK and install it in whatever development environment you are working in, and away you go. Hopefully that gives you an experience of how to get yourself started and how easy it can be to start getting the data for your users and your organization via the Microsoft Graph into your applications. Let's go back to the slides. I said there's one thing that you need to remember here. So one more time for those in the back, everything that we showed here, you can discover from this URL, graph.microsoft.com. And there are a whole load of more deep dive skilling sessions where using these links, you can go and watch and find out so much information about Microsoft Graph. This is a Microsoft technology that is going to be growing in relevance over the next few years, and it will be well worth your time to invest in learning. Data is forever, and HTTP isn't going anywhere soon. Thank you very much for joining, and let's go to Ben and see if we have some questions to answer.
Hey, Daryl, thanks. Yeah, we actually have quite a few questions here, and I'll start with some of the easier ones, and then we'll move ahead. So first question, will there be any Microsoft Graph integrations for PowerPoint?
PowerPoint. We are working with all of the teams in order to try and bring the APIs to the Microsoft Graph. There have already been some Graph APIs relating to mentions that are starting to be surfaced on the Microsoft Graph. And moving forward, we expect all of the Office suite to become available with Microsoft Graph. But the best way to prioritize is go to User Voice and add your requests there and get those upvoted by you and all of your friends. And that's the easiest way to make it clear to the PMs who own all these different things the different features, that it is really important to you that that is a feature that's supported on the Microsoft Graph. It's one of the main ways that we figure out what is the right priority for delivering features to our customers. So user voice, microsoftgraph.uservoice.com.
Okay, so I'll ask a next question that was asked by the audience that's sort of a follow-on to that. Can you talk a little bit about all the services that are actually connected to the Microsoft Graph?
There are a number of both client applications that are connected to the Microsoft Graph, and there are also a number of services. From a client application, Yina showed a bunch of examples of it in her keynote slot of different applications like Outlook and Teams that are calling the Microsoft Graph for a variety of different capabilities. There are a set of connectors in Power Apps and Power Automate in order to connect to the Microsoft Graph. As we've announced at Build this year, many of the AAD APIs, the Azure Active Directory APIs, are now on Microsoft Graph, and some of the services over in the Azure world are now calling Microsoft Graph in order to consume those capabilities. All of the APIs for accessing applications, creating applications, service principles, those are the things that a lot of other services will be accessing. And look forward in the future, we are working on integrating the Fluid framework with Microsoft Graph as well.
Great, thanks. A couple of questions now about the Graph Explorer. So the first question is, how does the Microsoft Graph Explorer access organizational data after you've accepted admin consent?
How does access organize after you've access organizational data? It will, the Graph Explorer only works at this point in time with delegated access. So any endpoint on Microsoft Graph that is enabled for delegated access, you can get at it via Graph Explorer. You cannot currently do app only access because that would require, if we did, that would require having a secret shared with Graph Explorer. If you want to do app only access, what I recommend you do is go to GitHub and Microsoft Graph, and we have a repository there of Postman collections that have a whole set of samples for calling Microsoft Graph. And with that, you can do app only access to resources in the Microsoft Graph for resources that are only available via app only. Otherwise, with delegated, you can access any resources via Graph.
Thanks. Let me ask a different question, also about Graph Explorer, but also about the docs. Are we planning to add PowerShell as one of the languages that we would support with code snippets?
It's funny you should ask that, but Jeffrey Snova reached out to me the other day and said, why is there no PowerShell in the Graph Explorer snippets? And that's very specifically because the generated PowerShell we do is a slightly different process from the other SDKs. The other SDKs currently are generated off the metadata from the graph, which is CSDL, and we have a process in place for generating those snippets. The PowerShell takes a slightly different route, and it uses an open API description and uses AutoREST. And so it's going to take us a little bit more work in order to be able to get those PowerShell commandlets. But it was very much something that a lot of the teams here at Microsoft, when I was originally talking to them about bringing PowerShell to Graph, said, we need to have those snippets in both the docs and in Graph Explorer. So it's something we're definitely going to do. It will just take us a little longer to get there.
Great. Hey, quick follow-up question, actually, one that you could probably anticipate that people were going to ask, but when do we think that the beta version of the PowerShell SDK is going to go to GA?
We are targeting this quarter. We tried really, really hard to make it for Build. We didn't quite make it, but we are really not far. We are getting some really good feedback from the teams who are working with it. We've had a ton of great feedback from customers who are working with it. There's a few capabilities that we don't quite have yet, but we're working really hard to get those things finished up. And we will have a GA release for you this quarter.
Great. Let me stick a little bit longer with the PowerShell theme here and ask the next question here. Are there any simple PowerShell scripts to use with the Graph APIs to authenticate with the Graph APIs using username and password without needing to use a client ID and secret for authentication?
There are not. This was an explicit decision not to support username password flow. Our major concern there is that it makes it really easy for somebody to end up putting their password into a script, which could unfortunately make its way into some kind of version control system. And so at the moment, the way that we have authentication, we use device code flow for interactive. We will soon also have interactive flow. For app scripts, we currently use certificates. We are working with the Azure team in order to bring together some of the auth experiences. And in that process, we will enable being able to do managed identity. And so managed identity should provide a much easier experience for people being able to deploy scripts into things like Azure Functions and into Azure websites. And hopefully that will address the requirements. I understand there are some scenarios where it would make life easier with the username password flow. We just don't want to take that risk of making it possible.
Thanks. Okay, let's change topics off of PowerShell for a little bit. Here's a question from Corey. When will the Office 365 or the Microsoft 365 graph and Azure graphs align? And maybe this feeds into another topic that you're close to.
Yes, there is alignment work going on. We are not at this point trying to align at the API level. At this point, we're trying to align at the developer experience level. And the Azure APIs are starting to migrate in many ways to the Azure Identity V2 endpoint, which Graph already uses. And we are working with the Azure SDK team to start using their Azure Identity libraries, which are just a thin layer over the top of the MSAL. And we last year released some components to help using MSAL with Microsoft Graph, but we realized that, hey, we're just doing the same thing as what Azure does. There's no point having two libraries that do the same thing. So we're bringing those together and we're going to adopt the Azure Identity libraries so that you'll just be able to enter credentials once in your app and then call either Graph APIs or Azure APIs with the same set of credentials. There still is going to be two distinct sets of SDKs. The PowerShell side of things, we are using exactly the same generation tool in the PowerShell libraries to be able to generate the Graph PowerShell libraries as the AZ PowerShell libraries. So the experience should feel very similar. They should play side by side really nicely. We have some conversations going on about where is the overlap and what are the scenarios where developers need to work with both sets of APIs. And we are definitely trying to make that experience as seamless as possible. But there's a lot of low-hanging fruit wins that we can do before we actually start trying to merge the two APIs, because there are some fairly fundamental differences in the way the APIs are built today.
Okay, Daryl, we have about 2 minutes left, so I'm going to ask you one last question. Does Graph connect to Outlook data more efficiently than EWS, or does Graph utilize EWS?
Graph does not use EWS. EWS is a SOAP-based service. There is still a bunch of functionality in EWS that has not been moved over to Graph, but we are working really hard with that team and we're making some really good progress. And I hope that we will have news for you that we are going to light up a whole bunch of those admin scenarios on Microsoft Graph. So again, the value with Microsoft Graph, it's a unified API. It's one token to access the entire surface area of M365. So it is the easiest place to get all of your M365 data from. Hopefully you'll have a whole bunch of new scenarios related to Exchange Admin lit up on there real soon.
Okay, and does Microsoft Graph support support GraphQL queries and subscriptions?
It does not support GraphQL at this point in time. We have done a lot of investigation around GraphQL and the capabilities that GraphQL brings. We had some great working sessions at Build last year where we were getting feedback from developers as to what it was they were looking for, specifically asking them questions around GraphQL. And there's a bunch of work that we can do that will enable our existing customers to take advantage of it and put us in a better position where maybe down the road we can put GraphQL syntax on top of our existing API. But one step at a time. Yes.
And I think, speaking of time, we're out of it. Okay. So, yes. All right. Well, then, folks, I know that we didn't get to every question. I apologize, but I think the session is over. So, we'll be, I think we can answer for a little while afterwards as well, right?